Yeah, that was also the day when we had our family fun night at Todd and Bonnie Nelson's. And there was some really good food. But even better was hearing the testimonies from five individuals who had recently trusted in Jesus Christ. We watched them be baptized as well, and that was great. Earlier in the day, however, I, along with most of our deacons and deaconesses, had the opportunity, the privilege really, to hear five delightful testimonies of how God had worked in the lives of these individuals. And so as I listened to John and Marcy Splinter and Holly and Judy Janisich and Lucinda Swan tell their stories, I was struck by two things. First, this Christianity stuff is the real thing. Each of these individuals told of genuine changes occurring in their lives. These are different people than they were just a couple of years ago. And most of these changes were not so much a result of individuals trying to change, but of God's Spirit changing them. Secondly, there was a common thread in all five testimonies. It was here at Chisholm Baptist Church that their faith in Jesus really took root. Each of them talked about how it was through the help and encouragement of people in this room that they came to really understand what it meant to trust in Jesus Christ and follow Him. They're each excited about being part of this church because they're convinced that it's here that they will find much joy as they continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Folks, I've been kind of pondering this, the second point, for the last few weeks. What's the relationship between being a Christian and being part of a church? That's the topic we're going to explore this morning, and let's just pause and pray that God would use His Word, use the Bible, to help us see the truth and to understand it and to apply it in our lives. Oh, Father God, we thank You once again for today and for the chance to be encouraged and instructed by Your Word. And we pray as we think about this very practical topic that You will help us understand what it means, and especially what it means for each of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Four main points that I want to make today. The first one is that being a Christian must not be equated with being part of a church. Being a Christian must not be equated with being part of a church. A saying I like is that going to church doesn't make you any more a Christian than walking into your garage makes you a car. In other words, it's impossible to be a part of a church and not be a Christian. The Bible is clear, and from this pulpit I try to make it clear that being a Christian, experiencing God's salvation, is never about what we do, but rather involves trusting in Jesus Christ and in what He has already done for us through His death and resurrection. No passage in the Bible sums that up better than Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It's the gift of God, not a result of good works, so that no one may boast. And if you've been around here, you've certainly heard those verses before. But they're still true. And folks, the sad reality is that going to church is one of those good works that people often try to rely on instead of trusting in Jesus Christ. At times I hear something like this. Oh, I'm sure my Aunt Martha is in heaven. She was a wonderful person and she went to church almost every Sunday. Well, Martha may indeed be in heaven and she may have been a wonderful person, but neither of these are because she went to church every Sunday. I always remember a song that Ken Miedema used to sing, it's getting to be more than a few years ago, called Mr. Simon. It goes, no, I'm not going to sing it for you, but it goes, every Sunday morning when the bells begin to ring, Mr. Simon's at the church. That's where he does his thing. Oh, he loves to see the people who have come to praise the Lord, and he loves to hear them singing all in one accord. And the song goes on to explain that that is pretty much the only reason Mr. Simon is in church. Faith in Jesus Christ, a desire to honor God, don't really play any part in his motives for being there. He just likes to hear the people, see the people. He likes to hear the singing. And friends, it's possible to go to church every single Sunday and not be a genuine Christian and not even be a very nice person. There are folks, maybe even some in this room, who attend church pretty much for only wrong reasons. Doing so may make them hypocrites, but it certainly doesn't make them Christians. Now, because churches sometimes give the impression that attending church is basically synonymous with being a Christian, we at Chisholm Baptist almost go out of our way to correct that error. We often emphasize that it's a relationship with Jesus Christ, not a relationship with a church, but a relationship with Jesus Christ, which is most important. People are saved and are in the eternal presence of God, not because they've trusted in a church, but because they're trusting in the Lord Jesus. We contrast Christianity with churchianity. And note that sadly some people are much more focused on following a church than they are in following Jesus. Folks, we'll continue to do that because it is Jesus Christ. Not this church, not any other church, but Jesus Christ, who is, John 14:6, the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to God the Father except through Him. Friends, if you or I were to die and stand before God, and He were to ask, you know, why should I let you into heaven? And we answered, well, because I go to church most Sundays. Or because I was baptized in a certain church. Or because I'm a member of Chisholm Baptist Church. If we said that, I imagine there might be this awful buzzer which would go off indicating wrong answer. The only reason God should and will let me or anyone else into heaven is because of what Jesus Christ has done for me through His death on the cross, and because I'm trusting in Him to save me, not in this or any other church. Being a Christian must never be equated with being part of a church. And friend, if that's a mistake you've been making, the good news is it's not too late. It's not too late. Instead of trusting in a church, you can, by God's grace, turn to Jesus Christ and place your trust in Him. If you're not sure what that means or not sure you're doing that, please go ahead and give me a call. Or Norm and Janet, they're going to be up front here after the worship service. They'd love to talk to you about that. Friend, there is nothing in this world more important than making sure you're trusting your eternal destiny to the Lord Jesus, not to anyone or anything else, including a church. Okay, that's main point number one. Main point number two, being part of a church is an essential part of being a Christian. Being part of a church is an essential part of being a Christian. Now, I can almost hear some of you thinking, Pastor Dan, you're confusing me. You're confusing me. You just said being a Christian is not about going to church. And now you're saying, well, it's an essential part of being a Christian is going to church. Let me try to explain. I sometimes find it helpful to distinguish between becoming a Christian and being a Christian. Becoming a Christian involves trusting in Jesus Christ as Savior. It means by faith receiving the magnificent gift of salvation which God offers. And friend, you can do that without ever setting foot in a church. In fact, you can do that without ever speaking a word to another Christian. Those of you who are part of the Gideon's organization have heard numerous testimonies of people who picked up a Bible in a motel room and they read it and they turned to Jesus Christ without ever talking to another Christian. The power, that's the power of God's word, the power of the great news of Jesus Christ. Yet once someone becomes a Christian, he or she cannot really follow Jesus, or my phrase, be a Christian, live like Christ, without being a part of a church. Now, I'm not suggesting that people lose their salvation if they skip church for a few Sundays. As we said, our salvation depends on Jesus Christ, not on church or anything else. Yet it's very difficult for me to imagine how someone who is a believer in Jesus can really be following Jesus or living in a way that pleases the Lord, unless he or she is part of a church. Now, when I say that, some people respond, but Pastor Dan, the Bible doesn't say much about a Christian having to go to church. The phrase "say much" refers to the fact that there is really only one verse in the Bible that explicitly commands a Christian to attend church. That would be Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Only one verse. So I sometimes respond, I says, well, the Bible doesn't have to say much, because that one verse is pretty clear. You don't need 10 verses when one is clear. The Lord wants Christians to meet together with other believers on a regular basis. Yet the expectation that a Christian will be a part of a church is reflected not in one or two verses, which specifically command that, but rather reflected by an entire New Testament, which pretty much assumes that. It's not just one or two verses. It's a whole New Testament which assumes a Christian is going to be part of a church. Let's say that somehow the Apostle Paul, for example, would visit our community this week, and he would meet Joe and Mary. Now, this is not any Joe and Mary, you know. This is just generic Iron Rangers, Joe and Mary. And Paul would, being Paul, he would probably start talking with them about Jesus. And Mary would say, interrupt and say, you know, hey, we're Christians just like you, Paul. We believe in Jesus. And Paul responds, hey, that's great. That's wonderful. Where do you guys go to church? And Joe says, well, we're not really part of any church. And Paul responds, say what? And Mary says, well, you know, we kind of worship God at home. We read the Bible and we pray together. We figure that's, you know, what really, all that God really expects from us. Paul responds, where in the world did you get that goofy idea? You're Christians. You're Christians, but you're not part of a church? That just doesn't make any sense to me. And indeed, when we read what Paul and the other apostles write in the New Testament, we find the assumption is that because believers in Jesus are now part of God's family, because we will spend eternity with other believers in God's presence, we will naturally start hanging out with those people when we're here on earth. You know, the Bible never refers to any Lone Ranger type Christians, people out there serving Jesus but not connected to a church. Never talks about anyone like that. In the New Testament, when someone becomes a Christian, they pretty much become part of a church. Now, maybe you've noticed I keep saying a church rather than the church. That's because I believe, and I think the Bible teaches, that every Christian is by definition part of the church, the universal church, the body of Christ. We are automatically incorporated into that the moment we place our faith in Jesus and become a Christian. What I'm talking about today is a local church, a visible church, a particular group of Christians who gather together. Joe and Mary might tell the Apostle Paul, you know, we don't go to any local church, but we're part of the universal church. Paul would respond, okay, so what? Yes, if you're a believer in Jesus, of course you're part of the universal church, but God expects you to be part of a local church as well. Now, folks, maybe you're wondering if what I'm saying is actually the case. Is that really what the Bible teaches? Well, I'm simply going to call your attention to what I call the one another passages. The one another passages. For example, this is just from the book of Romans, one of the 66 books in which make up the Bible. In the book of Romans, we find these commands from the Lord. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Live in harmony with one another. Let us not pass judgment on one another. Live in harmony with one another. He repeats that one. Welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Instruct one another. Greet one another with a holy kiss. We'll worry about that holy kiss part on another day. Just in the book of Romans, 8 different specific commands to do something to one another. And my question is this: how can anyone possibly obey those commands unless he or she is spending time with other Christians? How can you outdo one another in showing honor if you're not spending time with other believers. You can't welcome one another if you're sitting in your living room watching some preacher on TV. The fact is that almost all of the New Testament letters were written to churches, to groups of people, not to individuals. And I think it's clear that both Jesus and the apostles envisioned following Jesus Christ as something that Christians would do together. That there would always be other people alongside of us on the road whom we could encourage and help and who could help and encourage us as well. I'm convinced being part of a church is an essential part of being a follower of Jesus, which is simply saying it's another way of saying it's an essential part of being a Christian. Main point number three, having a cup of coffee with a Christian friend every week doesn't count as being part of a church. Some people even would claim that, well, you know, Joe and Mary, they're a church because they are two Christians who read the Bible and pray together. And the Bible says, whenever two or three are gathered in my name, there I am. I don't think so. But it does raise the question, what exactly is a church? And we don't have time, it's a very important question, we don't have time to explore it fully, but I'll make a few points. So subpoint number one of big point number three. Number one, there's nothing in the Bible which indicates that a church building, a paid pastor, a denominational affiliation, articles of incorporation from the state of Minnesota, or anything like that, are necessary for there to be a church. You can have a church without any of those things. And in recent years, house churches have become more and more popular in the United States, just groups of people gathering in a home. A few weeks ago, I was visiting with a couple who used to be part of our congregation, and now they are part, along with four other families, they're part of a house church in Wisconsin. There's nothing wrong with that. Though they would be very quick to say that being part of a house church is not nearly as romantic and exciting as some people make it out to be. It's not easy. In fact, right now they're trying to find someone who would be willing to come and be their part-time pastor, someone they could pay a partial salary so he would come and share God's word with them. And yet, certainly there are many house churches that fit the definition, the Bible's definition of what a church is. Okay? Subpoint number two, putting together many different things the Bible tells us, I believe there are four key elements necessary for a group of Christians to be a church, as far as God understands what a church is to be. The first one is the Word of God must be taught, and the gospel of Jesus Christ must be proclaimed. That has to happen if you're going to have a church. Christians getting together to listen to their favorite gospel music, that's a nice thing to do, it's not church. However, secondly, corporate worship is an essential part of a church. The Lord commands us, Ephesians 5:19, speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in our heart to the Lord. So in other words, singing "Our God is an Awesome God" is a wonderful thing to do in the shower, but the Lord expects us to gather for corporate worship as well. Thirdly, a church involves sharing together in the ordinances or the sacraments, specifically baptism and the Lord's Supper. These are not optional rituals, but something the Lord expects all Christians to participate in. And so a group of Christians who gather regularly but who don't ever share in the Lord's Supper together really are not, in my opinion, functioning as a church. Fourthly, a church has spiritual leaders who care for the members of the group and to whom the members are accountable. Again, a verse like Hebrews 13:17, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls. It is impossible to obey unless you are part of some organized church of some type. Now, I think this is why a lot of people don't want to be part of a church. They don't want to be accountable to leaders. In fact, they don't want to be accountable to anybody except themselves. And yes, that's what the Bible teaches. The Bible also says, 1 Timothy 3, that there is certain qualifications for elders or spiritual leaders. And so unless you have qualified elders leading a group of Christians, I don't think it's really a church, at least the type of church God intends. Okay, subpoint number three. I don't believe that a television or internet church is really a church. Again, you can't do all the one another things the Bible mentions if you're sitting in front of a TV watching a church service or if you're part of some online Bible discussion group. Now, it's great when a ministry does these things to reach out to people who don't go to church. But virtual church is no substitute for the real thing. Some friends recently moved to another state and asked me if I knew of a church in their new community which might help them moving into their new home. And I asked, well, you know, what about the church that your sister and brother-in-law go to? And the reply was, well, they're doing TV church now. Meaning their idea of church was sitting in front of a television on Sunday morning and watching a worship service which was being held a couple thousand miles away. I said, kind of jokingly, so the other folks from their TV church aren't willing to help them out, huh? Friends, you can't really serve one another in a virtual church. It's no substitute for the real thing. So, what about you folks out there who are watching this service on local cable television right now? Or you're listening to my sermon on the radio or the internet? Well, first of all, I'm glad you're doing that. I am glad you are doing so. But again, it's not a good substitute for being part of a real church. And I really believe what God wants you to do is to get up on Sunday morning and go to church. If you live here on the Iron Range, we would love to have you come here. We have worship services every Sunday at 9 o'clock and 10:45. Every Sunday morning, we'd be delighted if you came here. If you live in another community, then find a good church of which you can be a part. And if you don't know of any, go ahead, give me a call, and I'll try to give you some suggestions. But Pastor Dan, I work on Sunday mornings. I really can't get to church. Well, again, if that's the case, I'd encourage you to give me a call because there are all sorts of Bible studies and other ways that you can plug into this church during the week, even if you're not available on Sunday mornings. And good churches and other communities provide the same type of opportunities. But Pastor Dan, I'm not physically able to leave my house or my apartment. I can't get there. Okay, well, if you can't come to us, then we need to come to you and encourage you and serve you and be encouraged by you and pray with you and share the Lord's Supper with you. If you'd like to be part of this church but are physically unable to attend, please give me a call and we'll talk about how that can happen. Big point number four. Being a part of a church should be a joyful, not a painful experience. John, Marcy, Howie, Judy, and Lucinda have all experienced that here. And that is the way it is supposed to be. There are many people who used to be a part of a church but aren't anymore because of a bad experience. Something was said or something happened that hurt them and they don't want to be hurt again. So they stay away. Stay away from church. Friend, don't do that. Don't do that. If your soul is scarred or wounded, if you're hurting, then you especially need to be a part of a church. You need to be part of a church where other Christians can help you, part of a church where you can heal. It's through a church that God intends to give us the encouragement and the spiritual nourishment and the support to keep trusting and following Him even when life is tough and things are not real easy. And frankly, if the church you are a part of cannot, for whatever reason, provide those things, you may need to look for another church that will be able to do so. If you're part of a church that can't give you encouragement and support and help, you need to find a church that can. Being part of a church should be a wonderful part of our lives. The fellowship we're able to have with other believers in Christ should be something very special and very sweet. Now, during my 53 years here on earth, I've been part of six churches, three of them as a pastor, three of them as a regular type member. And I'm grateful to say it was always a wonderful experience, a wonderful experience. Now one of those churches was kind of dysfunctional. It was a church I attended in Minneapolis during my first couple of years of seminary. But even though it was kind of a dysfunctional group of folks, I still loved going there every Sunday morning because that had then become my family. It was my spiritual family. In Psalm 122, verse 1, David says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Now, I realize David's reasons for going to the temple are a little different than why we come here to church on Sunday morning. But I do believe when we walk into this building on Sundays, we should be glad. We should be glad. It is something to which we should look forward. And friend, if you don't look forward to going to church on Sunday, that indicates there's either something wrong with the church or there's something wrong with you. And you need to figure out which it is. And if you realize it's the latter, if there's something wrong with you, by the grace of God, you need to try to correct that. And if you're not sure how to do that, not sure what the problem is, you can give me a call. Maybe I can help. Friend, if being part of a church is not a painful experience for you, if it's a joyful experience, then I encourage you to celebrate that blessing from the Lord each and every day. And we're going to do that now, right now, as we sing the song, There's a Quiet Understanding When We're Gathered in the Spirit, when we come together in the name of Jesus.